And welcome, this is Trials and Tribulations. I'm Phil Airy, and I've got my two cohorts.
Sarah Owen Hughes.
And me, Faith Douglas.
Well, 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 we're live again. And Faith, you'll join us this time. How are you doing?
I turned up today.
You turned up, that's amazing.
Well done, me, and Anna wasn't late.
No, you weren't late. I did say 10 o'clock for a good reason.
Because I wasn't due here till 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was late.
I know you. I've known you for some years, so yes. I said 10. I meant 11. But you know what I mean.
I was here at half 10.
Yeah, exactly.
So was I late or was I early?
You were early in my book. You were late in yours, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, it's been... we had a lovely conversation yesterday with one of our guests with his NHS hat on.
Who was that?
Neil Hind.
Oh.
But Neil's going to join us because he's the chairman of the trustees of Pine Woods over in Harrogate. Fantastic little place. And then we're also joined with Elena and Glassup, another Glassup that he was on yesterday. And we're going to talk about Shipley College, the wonderful Shipley College.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that later. But first, we're going to talk about Thorpe Perrow.
They're lovely, Arboretum.
A lot of people still don't... Well, I don't know why they don't know about Thorpe Perrow, but it's a fantastic place. So if you can give us a rough idea of the history of Thorpe Perrow, please, and what you do there.
Okay, so Thorpe Perrow is a 100-acre arboretum just outside of Beedale, North Yorkshire, and it is privately run collection, so not a charity, not a trust. We rely on the public coming through the door to keep us open. And a lot of people don't actually know what an arboretum is. So I would generally describe an arboretum as either a tree museum or a collection of trees. So it's trees from all over the world. And the great thing about... They actually say it takes 100 years to plant an arboretum. Mm. The great thing and the special thing about Thorpe Perrow is we have trees that are really diverse, and we have a great age range of trees at Thorpe. So we have 16th century Parkland trees, we have the 1800s Pineetum, and the actual arboretum planting, which started in the 1930s by Sir Leonard Ropner. So it was originally about 60 acres, and Sir Leonard Ropner started planting trees just for fun, which I'm really pleased about, because it means I've got the best job in the world. And the collection sadly went into a little bit of decline towards the end of his life. He got quite grumpy in his old age, sacked all his staff, as you do when you get a bit grumpy, don't you? And the whole place became really overgrown, overrun, and sadly he passed away in 1977, weirdly the year I was born.
Really?
Yes, weird, weird.
Same here.
That's giving away my age, actually. Oh, my goodness me.
Maybe the 60s for me, but...
So John Ropner inherited the arboretum off his father, and the whole place was overgrown. And Sir John was very open. He didn't know the difference between an ash tree and an oak tree. And he spent a lot of his time in London, and they had a great relationship, but he had no idea what this garden was about. So he hired a dendrologist, John Mitchell. He came, spent three days in the arboretum, and he came up really, really excited. And he sort of said to Sir John, you know, you've got a really special collection here. It's really important, and you've got to look after it. Now, Sir John was like a typical Yorkshireman, and that meant spending money, and he didn't want to spend money. But, and this is where fate kicks in, and I really like this part of the story,
because
Sir John happened to be at a dinner party in London, and he was sitting next to Lord Heseltine, Michael Heseltine, and it doesn't matter what you think about his politics, because actually he's a great tree lover, a really amazing dendrologist who actually has a really great arboretum in the country at the moment. And he said to Sir John, you know, we are looking for different areas of interest across Yorkshire to take the pressure off the Yorkshire Dales and the Yorkshire Moors. And we would give you a government grant, £50,000, but you've got to open the doors to the public. So that is how Thorpe Perro opened up the doors. They opened up in 1980. We're now spread over about 100 acres. We've got 5 national plant collections and about 51 champion trees. We're coming to the most important and busiest time of the year for us, autumn. Autumn colours are amazing. Yeah. And next week is half term. So we also have the Halloween trail, and it's going to be very, very busy next week. Yeah. So, yeah, that's us.
And some Father Christmas will come and to your place. Obviously, he comes to ours, hard to cap, but he'll visit your place.
He visits us as well, yeah. We have Santa's Grotto. So, yeah, the kids can have a wander through the Arboretum and go and visit Santa in his grotto. And there might be some donkeys or reindeers too.
Yeah, you see, I prefer donkeys to reindeer.
I'd really, why?
Because reindeer look really nasty with them big...
No.
Donkeys just look cute.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
Well, yeah. Stubborn.
I enjoyed the donkeys. They're nice. You got meerkats as well?
We have got meerkats. Mm. So we have, within the Arboretum, we've got the Bird of Prey and Mammal Centre. Mm. So quite a large collection of bird of prey. Mm. Meerkats, the wallabies. The wallabies are my favourite. So if ever I'm having a rough day, not that I often have a rough day in the Arboretum, I go into the Bird of Prey Centre and I find a wallaby and I stroke a wallaby. It's nice. Makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Either that or hug a tree.
And I get the privilege of having back-of-the-scenes tours sometimes.
You know,
when I go and visit you.
We're going to do the Halloween trail next
week? We are going to do the Halloween trail, 100%.
Back in the playground,
Phil. Can we get costumed up?
Absolutely. It'd be rude not to.
I do.
Are we going to go into the playground, though?
No. That wasn't fun last time.
Phil is scarred for life.
Yeah. She had me around the playground area, where it's normally for children, not... Big
adults can go on it.
Adults like me.
Phil got stuck on the zip wire.
There was a hole that I was never going to get out of. But apparently I did, but then that's straight down the slide and I fell over. So, I'm still scarred.
You had to be there, I think.
So, So anyway, we've got Neil Hind of the Pine Woods, just over the road from us. And you're the chairman of the trustees. Would you give us a bit of an outline of how the Pine Woods started?
Yeah, so as an organisation, we have to look after the Pine Woods. And for those who don't know where the Pine Woods is or what the Pine Woods is, it's just short of 100 acres, situated between the Valley Gardens in Harrogate and RHS Harlow Carr. So we know lots of people walk out through the Pine Woods and they don't actually realise it is the Pine Woods. Mm. So it's been there for... A long, long time, you know, hundreds of years. You can actually trace its history back to the great Knaresborough Forest. So it's got a really good history, and it's just a really nice area to be in.
It is. We do at Horticat, we do a bit of work down there.
Yeah.
We come down and we've done some wildlife planting, and we've even put you some of the recycled plastic. Benches,
picnic benches,
Well, they're really good until somebody decides to put a barbecue on top of it.
Yeah, we've had one damaged by a barbecue, and then we don't know quite how soon it's made of plastic, but someone did manage to set one on fire as well, so that was very impressive.
Yes, and we replaced it for you. We didn't replace it, we helped put it and concrete it in. But it is a fantastic place, and as it... How far does it go up to the Harlow Carr?
So it's there is a main path which is a mile long. So that gives you an indication of just the size of the woods. I mean, we've got some really good aerial shots as well, which have to show it to its sort of a full extent. And I think what we would really encourage people is, you know, get off that main path and go and explore some of the areas you might not have normally explored.
Yeah.
There's some great, you know, other paths, other routes you can follow. There's a bridleway which goes straight up in the middle. You know, we've done a lot of new planting in some other areas at the side, Rokeby Wood. Mm. You know, Sandgate Field, which is a big field. Mm. Well, that's been left now uncut, and that's now looking really, really, really great. Mm.
And what is it? I mean, we're talking about open green spaces and what they meant to us in lockdown last year. especially with yours, it's free access all the time. How was it? Was it used a lot for the hour walk we used to have?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some really good feedback and some amazing stories. So we know, you know, the Pine Woods is a well used area anyway. You know, there's lots of housing up, you know, now all the way around it almost. But what we saw during lockdown was a massive increase in usage. And we've talked to some people that said, you know, they've lived in Harrogate all their life, but never been for a walk in the Pine Woods until lockdown one.
Yeah.
And they're now finding, you know, it's on the doorstep, it's free. And we've seen a massive interest in the work that we're doing. We've got people now wanting to get out there and really help us. So there is a group that go out almost every day and litter pick. You know, we gave them the equipment they needed. They wanted some way to know, you know, who else was out. So they've now got their own WhatsApp group, so they can go and meet up and, you know, and share sort of almost intelligence. It's like, you know, like a version of like MI5. You know, that they know where all the litter is, you know, who's been in what area. They can report back if they see any damage, any antisocial behaviour, which isn't a lot. But we do get it, and it just helps us keep the woods looking really nice and tidy.
And you couldn't really operate that place, and you're all volunteers.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as a charity, we don't have any staff. Mm. You know, everyone who does come and support us does it out of the goodness of their own hearts. Mm. You know, and we really appreciate all the help.
I mean, your chairman, the trustee, we've got a trustee from Harticap. They're just fancy volunteers.
Yeah.
People that do it for nothing.
Well, they're a volunteer who has to do some work.
Well, has responsibilities.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if it all goes wrong, it's us on the hook.
And what was thought about? Yes, yeah, see you later, Simon.
See you, Simon.
You're on the podcast, are you, Willie? I can edit that out.
Please don't.
I might not.
No.
So, Faith, what was Thought Perro like? Obviously, you did have to close because it's not a public accessible.
Yeah, so we closed for, I think it was 3 months, wasn't it, to begin with? About 3 months. When we reopened, obviously, when we first reopened, it was August time, I think, when we reopened, wasn't it? And nothing indoor was open. It was just outdoor spaces. And we found we have never been so busy. Never been so busy, which is absolutely fantastic. And what we did notice is if anybody's been to Thought Perro, you'll see there's like a rat run. So you go from the tea room to the playground to the Bird of Prey Centre and back again. But what we found is because everybody was trying to avoid each other, they were using the full 100 acres, which was really nice to see. You know, you wander through the autumn bays and you'd see families picnicking, which was fantastic to see. But I found as well that there has to be that balance. There has to be striking that balance because sadly, and I don't know if you found this, Neil, you know, you've got more people coming through the doors, which on one hand is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, well, there's management and there's damage. There's damage. So we chatted earlier about litter. We found a lot of litter. People dropping litter, which, you know, is sad, really sad. And it's something that could very easily be prevented. You just put your litter in the bin. Mm. We have bins.
Yeah.
Or put it in your pocket and take it home.
Yeah. That always mystifies me.
I know. But we also found damage to trees, which is really sad. Mm. So we had the footfall damage from underground, especially when it was wet. And that's easy to repair. We sorted that out. But damage to trees... sadly, not children, actually. We would be forgiven for pointing the finger at the young people and saying it's the kids causing the damage. But actually, some of the damage was caused by bigger people, adults swinging on trees, sitting on branches, and actually damaging very, very old, precious trees.
Yeah.
Did you find any sort of damage or anything?
Yeah, so I think there was a lot of damage caused at the side of the footpaths,
and
that's sort of understandable because you know some of the footpaths we have are fairly narrow.
Yeah.
So you know when people want to social distance, which was the right thing in doing.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of wear and tear at the side of the footpaths.
Yeah.
Partly because of that increased usage, and that social distancing.
Yeah.
And as we said, massive increase in litter.
Yeah.
You know, which is a shame. what we also saw, and again, we sort of want to encourage some of this, but in a responsible way, is almost a den building. So lots of people came in and built dens, which is fine. But then we found people were building dens with, you know, some of the signposts and, you know, and are breaking up some of the branches. And that then sort of isn't great.
No.
You know, because that is causing damage. And damage which is caused, we then have to go and fix, which is eating into our funds.
Yeah.
So, there's a big educational piece here as well to get people to understand, you know, the impact of them going, you know, into woodland.
Yeah.
It's a difficult balance.
It is. Mm. I mean, here up at Horticap, we were coursed for quite some time. But in that time, we decided to upgrade the nature trail.
Yeah.
And once we got that up and running, we found that people really enjoyed being up there. And like I said, there's been no damage up to press. They've been fantastic with us. But we found the footfall in the nature trail has really increased.
Fantastic.
Big time.
Yeah.
Which is great for us.
Yeah.
We're a charity, but it's nice to then give something to the community, and we're going to have a bigger community around here because there's probably about 700 houses going to be built around us. So where you could look at it and think, oh, 700 houses, but then you've got a lot of customers. And people wanting to come and see what we do here, and we've had quite a few people come over yesterday, saying that they might be coming today as well.
That's what keeps you guys open, isn't it? People coming up here, buying plants, great plants, coming in your shop.
All the students do all the potting up and the cuttings and stuff like that. So it's a fantastic place for adults with learning difficulties, and it's great that the people that come up here see what our students are about, see how wonderful they are, and it's just great to have horticulture as a platform.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, talking about horticulture and getting into horticulture, I'll bring my next guest in, Helena. Now, you're from the fantastic Shipley College.
I will say
that, because obviously it produced me. it produced another little gardener called Alan Titchmarsh, but we won't talk about him. He didn't go anywhere. And other people, we met Martin Walker yesterday. He's there going to get three Chelsea goals. Unfortunately, you didn't go to Shipley College, but you didn't.
No, I didn't.
No, but it's a fabulous place. And there's not many colleges that provide horticulture. We've got two around here, but with Shipley College, it's a really unknown college. Mm. Can you tell us how long it's been going as a horticultural base?
I'm not actually certain how long it's been going as a horticulture base. We are very well established. We were there way back into the 70s before I was around.
Yes, I came in the 80s, so there you go. And Alan came in the 70s.
I think he was there in the 70s, yeah. And we've been going for a long, long time. We're actually quite unusual for a college that we're not a specialist horticultural college. We offer a wide range of courses in all sorts of subjects. But actually, our horticulture department is very visible within the college because we're based in beautiful Saltaire.
Yeah.
And we're actually responsible for some of the grounds around Saltaire. So when you come to the village and you see how beautiful it is, our students are responsible for a lot of that care and a lot of that uptake. And then we work within the village, so we have quite a close relationship with the people living there. And we're kind of linked to the park and the countryside around. It's a really good place for people to kind of come and see exactly what horticulture involves, really.
I mean, you're in a beautiful building. It's all part of the World Heritage Site of Saltaire, where I was born. So I love it. And all the buildings around there, and you've got even the nature trail now going into Hurstwood.
Yeah.
Nature trail over there, and you've got allotments, if I remember rightly.
Yes, we've got part of our college facilities are on the Caroline Street allotment, so we've got quite a big plot on there that we use for growing for all our students. So we've got foundation learning students up there, we've got all the way through to sort of adults doing A-level equivalents in horticulture, and it's a really vibrant community really because we've got so many students coming through, so it's a fantastic place to work, and not many people can say they work in a World Heritage Centre or study in a World Heritage Centre, so we're quite unique.
Yeah.
Really, we're only a very small college, but we certainly make up for our size in terms of our enthusiasm and our passion for actually delivering horticulture and making it known as a subject and getting people into the industry, really.
And you wouldn't think that Shipley College was a small college, because the horticultural side isn't massive, but it's produced a lot of people. It's changed my life. It's brought it to where it is today.
Yeah, we like to think we're changing the lives of anybody who comes through our door. We hope that they come out of there kind of thinking, wow, this is what I want to do, this is the industry I want to go in. My colleagues and I, the whole department, are full of really passionate people. We've all got horticultural backgrounds. A lot of us have got interest in horticulture outside of our lecturing as well. So we really like to think that as a staff team, we kind of bring that passion to our students and just show them what a fantastic opportunity it is to come into. And I think after lockdown as well, a lot of people have suddenly thought, actually, I'm tired of working in an office every day. I'm tired of the 9 till 5 and staring at a brick wall. What I really want to do is go and experience the outdoors and actually have that as my career. So we have a really strong community of adult learners coming in who are saying, actually, I don't want to work in an office anymore. I don't want to work in a shop. I want to come and work with my hands and get involved in kind of green spaces and not just horticulture, but conservation and things like that as well.
Have you seen any sort of uptake or people coming to you that wouldn't normally want to do horticulture?
Yeah, I think I've been at the college 3 years, and I think every year we've had career changers coming in saying, this is what I want to do. And especially since lockdown, I think nearly all our students this year have kind of come into it saying, I just don't want the everyday life anymore. I want to be doing this, and it's something I'm really passionate about. And I didn't know that until lockdown, so it's definitely had an impact.
And I think it does. I mean, Faith, you come into horticulture quite late, but look where you are now.
29.
You were 29.
Yeah, I was 29. Career change.
You came to work at Horticap, and obviously fell in love with the students, but fell in love with horticulture.
I did, yeah, because I was in nursing before.
Yeah.
Science is my bag. Yeah. Science is my bag, and horticulture is a very scientific subject.
It is, yeah.
I've got a couple of great friends, actually, that throughout lockdown period, they are looking about changing their jobs.
Yeah.
And interestingly, my hairdresser, listen to this, my hairdresser, is now a beekeeper. What's that about?
Yeah.
It's amazing. He still does my hair. But, you know, he's now a beekeeper. And he's gone from, you know, he's a very, dare I say it, towny person, and he's radically changed his life and his job and the way he's bringing up his child. And I've got another great friend who's a physiotherapist for the NHS, and she contacted me and said, Faith, I want to leave my job. And the sad thing is she's amazing at her job.
Yeah.
But she's so overworked, stressed out, and she loves her garden. And she was asking, you know, where do I go? How do I change my career?
And actually, there's so many opportunities in things like social and therapeutic horticulture where you can combine the physiotherapy
exactly
and the benefits to human health
with
the gardening. I mean, we're now running social and therapeutic horticulture courses at Shipley because we've found that there's a need for people saying, this is really good for my well-being. How can I share this with other people? I want to get involved in that as a career and not just the kind of digging and shoveling side of things. I want to get involved in the well-being side of things as well.
I think there needs to be more promoted out there to really encourage people to go and study horticulture, because I know I did some judging for Yorkshire in Bloom a couple of years ago, and we visited Borough Bridge and they had a horticulture course in Borough Bridge High School which was deemed for non-academic students and they were actually stopping this course because it was deemed not important. But I think it really needs to be shouted about for academic and non-academic people, and that it's such a worthwhile course, because I think, you know, you can't do a botany degree anymore in this country, which is really, really sad. You have to have it as part of another degree or go out of the country to do a botany degree, which is very sad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite unusual in the fact that I went into horticulture at 15 and I'm still there many years later.
Tremendous.
But I remember being at school and going to career sessions and saying, well, there's nothing for you. You'll have to go out and do it yourself. We can't advise you. And I think that yeah. We need to get into schools and kind of say, no, look, this is a fantastic career opportunity. You can have a degree and postgraduate qualifications and still work in this subject. You don't have to just do it because kind of we can't think of anything else for you to do.
And the thing is, you know, kids, they're interested.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely
interested. They love it. And at some point during their growing up or their education, it's almost taught that that's not what they should be doing or that's not what we do, because I work with a lot of kids and they love it.
Yeah.
You know, they know so much about trees and plants because it's taught.
Yeah.
But then when they get older, I think the theme changes, doesn't it? To more academia, maths, English, sciences. But even biology is not quite what it used to be, I don't think, anymore.
No.
And it's really, really sad because, you know, we spoke earlier, didn't we, Neil, that, you know, the natural world supports life, you know, and, you know, we really should be encouraging it. Whether it is a walk in the woods or whether you go on and do it as a career, it's so important.
And the thing is, I mean, gardening was looked at as a little bit boring and all that, but look how many gardening shows are on TV and on radio and podcasts like this, talking about gardening. There's so much.
Yeah.
There's so much. So people think it's not really the career for me.
Yeah.
I think they're... I think they're mistaken, really, because it can send you anywhere. And look at Sarah.
Yeah.
She does all the scientific
she's
stuff.
She's a real scientist.
Yes.
She's a geek. Oh, she's
a gardening geek.
Oh, she is.
She's our gardening geek, you know
she
what
is.
I mean?
Not
part of the show. But how's the future looking for Pinewoods?
So I think it's good. I mean, you know, I think one of the things we're seeing, obviously, you know, during COVID, after COVID, the increased interest in nature and trying to keep what we do have. I think that's important. I mean, obviously, you know, like lots of areas, especially here in Harrogate, as you said, lots of new housing going up. Mm-hmm. And that's always a concern for us at the Pinewoods. You know, what are the threats? You know, fairly well reported last year. You know, a business looking to expand into the Pinewoods that would see us lose 4 acres of woodland. We won that one first time around, but it's going to come back.
Mm.
So, you know, that's going to take a lot of time and effort again. Mm. I mean, but I think, you know, and you look now at some of the research, I mean, I don't think there's anyone that's going to argue having trees isn't, you know, is a good thing for the environment, but we're still not planting enough. You know, I think the recent research, what we need 19% of the country should be covered in trees.
It's about 13%, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, and we are well short. I think we need to plant another 1.5 million hectares to get up to that figure. And to put that in context, that's the size of Yorkshire.
Yes.
So we've got to replant the size of Yorkshire. But on the other hand, we've still got areas of woodland under threat. So, you know, we've got to start to really think about this and actually, you know, be serious if we want to save the planet, and that's not sort of overstating it.
I mean, the Woodland Trust came up here and he pulled out a map and says, there you go. And I said, look at all the trees there. He says, yeah, that's France. I'll just open up Yorkshire. And actually, it was really scarce.
We're the worst in Europe for tree cover. Our country was 90% woodland, and we took it right down to about 7%, didn't we?
And
it's still so low. Yeah. And Yorkshire, as a national park, the Yorkshire Dales National Park is the worst national park in this country for tree cover.
Mm.
And it's changing a mindset because we go to the Yorkshire Dales, we see this big barren landscape. And that's what we expect to see. And it's a change of mindset that people need to understand that that's not actually what it should look like. Mm. It should be forest. It should be woodland. It should be trees. And it's, you know, trees, saving the planet. But, you know, a tree's relationship to a human being, you know, it's so much more than just the oxygen we breathe, isn't it? It's the very life that we live. And without trees, we will not exist. That is a fact. And I just don't think people take it seriously enough, do they?
No, we've seen in some of the areas we've been working in, you know, a massive increase in the insect life, you know, and the wildlife. We've got the nature cameras in the woods. We've seen an increase in deer, in you know, in badgers, in foxes. Lots of wild orchids have appeared in the field that we have, and then you see all the butterflies and you know, all the bees, and that's what we need more of. Mm. You know, so we've got to get more of it, but also keep the bits that we do have. That's the vital bit, which we still, I don't think, quite understand.
So how can people support you?
Well, I mean, it's a question we get asked all the time, you know, how can we help you? Well, you know, what you can do is join as a member, but, you know, it's a fiver.
That's nothing, really.
That's cheap as chips. Why am I not a member?
I don't know, Phil.
Sort me out when I get out there.
But, you know, that's an easy thing. But just also follow us on social media.
Yeah.
You know, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. So if you search, for example, Pinewood Harrogate, you'll find us. You know, and just
get involved.
Keep in touch. Get on our email list if you want to. We send an email every so often, and if you're going to go out and do a litter pick or some planting, then
I did come to your teddy bears picnic.
You did, yeah. That was Angate Field, so that was
as the teddy bear.
I'm not dressed as a teddy bear. Just came as myself.
But in all fairness, he's extremely huggable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Like a big
teddy. Correct, Neil. Correct.
So I mean, Angate Field is a perfect example of work that we did. So it was an empty field. And we've actually planted it up with wildflowers, with willow. We put in the picnic benches that Phil talked about.
And we donated lots of the lilies and things like that.
Yes, RHS as well. They came and they gave us a lot of plants that went in, and they've taken really well. And it's amazing now. On a summer's day, you'll go to that field and you will see families having a picnic. Mm. You know, go out to playing. You know, and just enjoying the space they're in.
That's brilliant. That's
really good. Can people get in contact with Shipley College?
Through our website. So it's www.shipley.ac.uk. We've got all our course information on there. Google Horticulture, you can find out all about us. We've got an open day a week on Tuesday, so 7th of November. So you can come and have a chat with us. Mm. Get interactive. We've got loads of activities in the Horticulture Department that you can come and engage with and have a chat to myself and the other tutors that are around that day. We have other open days through the year.
So can any age come?
Any age come. We take students from 16 up to however old you're still capable of wielding a spade.
Yes, they did get me double digging there. I just remember I wasn't happy at the time. I was 21. But yeah, it's a fabulous place. Yeah, fabulous place. So I'd like to thank all my guests.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're already part of it.
But still, thank you.
That were really fascinating. Get out to your green spaces.
Yep.
Get to Thorpe Perrow.
Yep.
Get over to Pinewoods and get booked into a course at Shipley College. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. That's been another edition of Trials and Tribulations. Now, if you liked it, please subscribe and follow. But until next time, keep it green.